Welcome to Night Call, a production of iHeartRadio. It's 11:22 p.m. in a cattle farm outside Pendleton, Oregon, and you're listening to Night Call. Hello and welcome to Night Call, a podcast for your strange days and lonely nights. My name is Emily Yoshida. I'm here in Los Angeles, and with me in the studio, as always, are
Tess Lynch and
Molly Lambert.
And it's been an interesting news week, like in real life, but I feel like we've also gotten a lot of like left field news stories sent to us.
When things slip through the cracks.
Yeah.
We're there to pick them up.
I mean, it's a distraction mechanism. Y'all are paying attention to the impeachment, but meanwhile, girl is masquerading as a six-year-old.
Well, yeah. So if you happen to be searching about Ukrainian news this week, you might have actually managed to miss a really crazy article from the Daily Mail. They ran an exclusive about, it's the case of an Indiana couple who adopted a girl with dwarfism named Natalia from the Ukraine. Except according to the couple, she was actually an adult, and now they were all trapped in a plot that was kind of like the movie Orphan. It was actually pretty much exactly like the movie
Question,
Orphan.
Does this spoil Orphan for me?
I don't think so, because the specifics are kind of like the meat of this story.
You can still read it as a suspense movie, you know?
Sure. Yes.
When will they realize?
So they adopted this girl. They had a couple of other children, and this girl like kind of failed to like assimilate into the family and then just started trying to pour bleach in their coffee. She tried to drown them in the ocean. She was smearing blood on mirrors. She was drawing pictures of like her murdering her family. And eventually the couple fled to Canada with their other children, and they left her in an apartment at home. Here's the deal is, so they thought she was six, but then they noticed that, you know, while they were giving her a bath and stuff, they were like, she doesn't look six.
Yeah.
So there are these two conflicting reports. The family says that she is an adult woman who is posing as a six-year-old girl. And then her defense attorneys are like, no, the couple is crazy. She's clearly a child. And neither side has been proven to be lying or telling the truth yet. But they fled. They left her in an apartment by herself.
Like communion.
So, mm-hmm. And then I guess
they were brought up on charges for, yeah, child endangerment.
That that's how it became a story.
That's how it became a story. And then they went on the news and they were like, she's not a child. And she was like, you know, I guess like had a GED, or they were trying to hook her up with cosmetology jobs. They were trying transition her away. But it's a really, really intense read, and I recommend it.
It's also just like, it's weird because it's a Daily Mail story. Like, Daily Mail broke this, and it's like, I want to know more.
Also, we're
like,
learning so much about the Ukraine right now.
Exactly. Yeah.
I learned that the president of the Ukraine is a comedian.
So this is a weird thing where I saw a lot of people being like, is this so well known that no one's talking about it?
No, because it just happened.
It was just revealed. He played a teacher.
He's like,
on TV?
Okay, so he's like the Adam Sandler of the Ukraine. He's famous for a movie called 8 First Dates that is a ripoff of 50 First Dates. And he was like, mostly rom-coms. They all have names like Big Little City, like middle-of-the-road rom-coms. And then he did like a well-received, basically like premium streaming cable Ukrainian show, it sounds like, that was about a hapless populist who becomes the president of the Ukraine on an anti-corruption platform. And then he ran under the fake party from the show and won.
I think what we're saying is, if you want to get out of the Ukraine right now and your option is to masquerade as a six-year-old child to get adopted by American parents, I mean, why not?
I don't know if now's a great time to
try to get to America.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not terrible here.
His platform is actually really good. I don't know. I'm sure he's a milkshake duck in some way because he's a politician, mm-hmm. but he ran on like pro-abortion.
Right.
Like,
legalizing marijuana.
Anti-guns. Like, all things where I was like, should we be disguising ourselves as six-year-olds to go to the Ukraine?
Yes. That's
not a bad idea. Set up an exchange program.
Yeah.
Guys, I wanted to do a quick recommendation because in addition to Terrace House and Succession, the only television shows I watch right now, I've been kind of doing a slow burn of a burn, so to speak, of Ken Burns' country music. It's an 8-part Ken Burns.
You can only do a slow burn.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can't binge a Ken Burns doc.
You could put it on like 5x speed, maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
I would do that for maybe the Vietnam one with the Nine Inch Nails soundtrack.
Which I really want to watch that, but it's like, when?
Right, exactly.
Well, each of the 8 installments is like a feature.
Yeah, they're two hours each.
And the Vietnam one, you're like, when will I want to feel so depressed?
Right, exactly. I mean, country music is at least like kind of fun. Mm-hmm. Like there are some very not fun parts about it too, especially in the first couple episodes, because it's just like how much of country music came out of like the minstrelry tradition. I don't actually know how to say that word out loud, I guess. But I mean, it's got enough like
I think
fun
it's like
people.
It's hard to say, and it should be harder to do.
Right, right. Yeah. It should be harder to do than to say.
The pacing of these documentaries, though, I have to say the best thing to do while watching one is just to have your laptop so that when something interesting happens, you can take like a deep dive detour.
Well, the nice thing also is that if you do have your laptop and you're not watching constantly, an image will be on the screen for approximately 5 minutes.
Exactly.
So you will have time to look up and see what you're supposed to be looking at. But I mean, it's very easy to make fun of Ken Burns documentaries.
No, but it's like it's almost a podcast.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
We could do a slideshow during Nightcall.
That can be our $3,000 Patreon goal.
I have already said, I want our $3,000 Patreon goal to be that we have to do a jam session.
Yeah. Emily, do you play an instrument?
I play the fiddle.
Yeah. And Molly, you play the guitar.
Yeah. And
hey,
that's,
we're a country band.
Country band. You could play the drums.
I don't know how to play the drums.
Does
anyone though?
Anyone?
A shaker? Like
yeah,
a
shaker. I can do a shaker.
Yeah. Somebody has to learn how to play the banjo, though. I mean, maybe that's something we can work on. But I'm 3 parts in. It's 8 parts. And right now, I'm kind of like, I just watched like the one that has a lot of Hank Williams in it and basically has the career and death of Hank Williams. But there was, I think it was in the second episode where they start to talk about like singing cowboys and like movie cowboys and stuff, which is very near and dear to my heart. I love singing cowboys.
Do you love the Gene Autry Museum?
I've never been to the Gene Autry Museum.
Oh my God, it literally.
So now I need to, but it's about Gene Autry.
And it
this
literally is, has a section that's like real cowboys singing cowboys.
Yeah. Well, I love, like there's a whole part about like nudie suits and stuff in it.
It's like,
and I'm just like, my eyes are just like made of stars. I'm like, I want one so bad.
That might be something that is in the Nightcall Hall of Fame. Nudie suits.
Nudie suits.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're pro nudie.
It's on our bingo card.
Nightcall nudie
his name
suits.
His real name was, I think it was Nutia Kotilarenko. He's like I forget where it was Eastern European, but he, like, people couldn't say his name. He started working in Brooklyn, and so they just started calling him Nudie, and now they're Nudie Suits. But there's an amazing section in it, which I think is like a future Nightcall viewing assignment for us, of the first feature film that Gene Autry was the star of, that was like a Gene Autry vehicle. It was actually started as a serial and then became, they like edited into one feature film that came out in 1940 called The Phantom Empire, which is a hybrid Western and science fiction movie about Gene Autry plays a radio cowboy who lives on a ranch, and his ranch is threatened by like underground dwelling aliens, basically from the lost continent of Mu, who want to take over his land. But he always has to like make it back in time to like get on his radio show. It looks so amazing, and apparently the script was written, or at least was conceived, while the writer was, I think, under sedatives for a tooth extraction.
Oh, that's great. So. Yeah, I want to say serials are very good, and I like, enjoy them. Star Wars has ruined them for me, like, a little bit. But something like that, especially Singing Cowboys.
Oh, yeah. Singing Cowboys versus the Lost Continent of Mu is, like,
that's
incredible.
That's Nightcall fever.
So I want to watch that, and maybe I'll report back, because it sounds amazing.
I wanted to recommend on a similar topic, a side topic from country music, The Righteous Gemstones on HBO is my favorite show. I think it's the funniest.
Molly zigs while the rest, everybody else
I don't
zags.
Think it's zigging. First of all, they're like both on HBO. I'm talking about Succession. Everybody else talks.
Yeah.
There's not as much Gemstones discourse on the internet as there is Succession discourse, which I credit, of course, to the East Coast media bias against things from anywhere else. Because to me, megachurches are like so much more interesting than the inner workings of, you know, media, which is something I like know about already to a fault.
I'm going to try to recommit to The Righteous Gemstones. My issue is that I don't think it's that funny.
That's what I've heard about it. Like, it's surprising. Funny.
You're wanting to like laugh because, I mean, obviously Eastbound and Down we were all huge fans of, and my expectations were really high, and I did that thing where I just started laughing at intervals, like regardless if something funny was happening.
I think some of the weird random things, like it's not like super joke heavy maybe, but just the whole vibe. You know, to enjoy a show, I have to like want to be in that place a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love the world of it. A lot.
Can I really quick go back to Singing Cowboys because I had to do research for a second, but I just wanted to say that Gene Autry had an estate in Fryman Canyon in like Studio City called the Flying A that is like amazing. There were some time capsule photos from it on I think Curbed a while ago, but it is incredible. And then I heard that for a time, maybe not any longer, Jeff Probst from Survivor was living there.
Oh my God.
And I was like, wow, that's my two interests colliding.
The Roy Rogers Museum used to be in Victorville, but it moved to somewhere else.
Where did it move to? I went to it when it was in Victorville, when I was a tiny baby because...
Oh, so you saw Trigger.
Oh, no, it's in Branson now. Because I've been to both. I've been to both the Branson one and the Victorville one.
It had his taxidermied horse.
Yeah.
I know all about That's Trigger the taxidermied.
I love Trigger so much. Guys, do you want to hear the cutest thing that I ever did in my life?
Yes.
I invited Dale Evans to my 6th birthday party. I wrote her a letter and she wrote back actually and said, sorry, I can't make your birthday party, but I hope you have a happy birthday.
You're such a little buckaroo.
I wanted to be a cowboy badly.
So that's maybe again in what we all want deeply in some way.
We should go on a trail ride. Maybe that'll be our $5,000 Patreon goal.
Right.
I'm allergic to horses, so it'll have to be like
number. You take an Allegra. Yes, I'm allergic to horse, and I'm allergic to hay. And once I was horseback riding, and I fainted because I had an asthma attack, and I got right back on that damn horse.
Oh my God, you're making me look so bad.
That's the American spirit, right?
I was like, that's what I mean.
I was totally like, I will hide in the barn until the rest of the Girl Scouts are done with their horse ride.
Barn's the worst place to be if you have allergies.
You're totally right.
The roof keeps it in.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Oh man. Well, we had one other news story that was sent to us.
Yeah, speaking of farm animals.
Oh, speaking of the range. This was sent to us, I think, on every single platform that is available to us. People really wanted us to investigate this. Apparently, in Oregon right now, cows are just like mysteriously getting kidnapped and murdered in a very disconcertingly clean way. It's sort of it's a little bit ice truck killer from Dexter, but for cows. also a little bit under the skin because the cows are being found. Like, they have some organs that are just cleanly removed and some of their internal organs, so they look kind of, like, deflated. It's very weird, and nobody knows why it's happening. There's a story about this on Oregon Public Radio or Oregon Public Broadcasting, which we'll link to in the show notes. But, yeah, guys, got any theories?
Well, we're bringing this up now because we're going to formulate a plan to solve this.
Right, right.
But we need tips. So if you live in Oregon, if you wouldn't mind creeping around some cattle farms and giving us a call to, like, let us know what you think is going on, we'd appreciate it. But so basically the strange things are no blood at the crime scenes, some organs, like sex organs and udders and maybe a tongue, have been removed, it looks like, with a knife or a razor. So it's not an animal attack. Yeah. It seems like it's a human. But apparently the FBI like won't confirm or deny that it's working on this. But the sheriff said that locals are calling in with their theories. Mm-hmm. And some of those theories involve aliens, radiation, and a foreign, I believe it was North Vietnamese army, mm-hmm. which I'm not sure like how that lines up, but that mm-hmm. is a theory that exists. What do you guys think?
I want to shout out, there's a great picture of the it's a whiteboard apparently that they're keeping at the sheriff's office with all the called in theories. Oh, so you also have poison / darts, devil worshippers, vegans.
I don't know about that.
I love this so much. And I just did Creature Feature, which was about bats, and we talked at length about vampire bats and why they have a bad reputation. And it's because in Dracula, there's a part about the first thing they see is a cow that's been drained of all blood and left in a field.
But that's also because Dracula can transmogrify into mm-hmm. bats.
Yeah.
You know?
So he's shape-shifting.
It's him draining all the blood, not the bats.
Bats aren't very hungry. They're on diet. Well,
tiny little guys.
Yeah. Right. That's what Katie, the host, was saying. She was like, why not leeches or mm-hmm. something? Like, other things also suck blood. Why bats?
Because they're so cool.
They
have puppy faces.
Well, yeah. This is happening. So the cow incidents are happening in multiple different places around Oregon. One of them, the woman who owns the ranch, she was saying that this had also happened in the 80s, that there was like a similar case that happened before.
Somebody went around taking their catalytic converters out.
I don't know. It was, I'm trying.
It has to be aliens, right? This is like the number one classic sign of aliens.
It could be a classic sign of aliens, but it also does remind me that a few years ago there were, I think they were disemboweled animals found in some parks in Los Angeles. And that was like either a Santeria or a devil worshiping kind of thing. Remember that?
Well, yeah, and
but
I remember people finding
blood.
Chickens.
That was blood. Chickens, there was blood involved with that.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, that's the weirdest part is that like even they would have to like take the cattle, bring them to a van or something, kill the cattle, do whatever. But it's also like these cattle are 2,000 pounds, and I think they're mostly bulls, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So they're like young bulls.
And there's one like mother cow who was like her udders were removed, cleanly cut off.
That one makes
sense. So it's like the Black Dahlia of cows is going around.
Yeah.
What if it's a plant fungus? Wild card.
Plant fungus could surgically remove an udder?
I mean, a fungus that grows to be able to like take out the blood and organs from a cow.
I highly recommend looking up this article just because it has a picture of the cow.
It looks like a deflated balloon. It's really scary.
It's really scary.
Or like a sock puppet.
Or another classic theory, chupacabra.
Yeah, you could go with a chupacabra on this
chupacabra, I think, qualifies all the criteria. They suck the blood clean.
I feel like it's some kind of ritual. I don't think it's aliens because I can't really formulate why the aliens would just take certain parts of the cow.
Why do they do anything?
I mean, that's the truth is that with
to
an
drive
alien...
We can never. We cannot know the mind of an alien.
Should we see Ad Astra?
Maybe. Oh, wait. We should see Ad Astra, I guess.
I shan't see Ad Astra. I shan't.
I want to have another argument about space movies and how I hate when they're about God or your parents.
I know.
I want them to be about the vast unknowability of space only.
Not the vast unknowability of your parents?
No, because I like my parents.
We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll have more Night Call.
So welcome back. Today we have our friend Chris Cantwell, the filmmaker Chris Cantwell, not the neo-Nazi who shares his name. Just have to always disclaim. He's joining us in the studio to discuss his new movie, The Parts You Lose. Chris, we've known online for a long time, and Molly actually had him on one of her old podcasts. He was the co-creator, EP, and showrunner of the excellent AMC TV series Halt and Catch Fire.
This is Halt and Catch Fire Hive right here.
This is the Halt and Catch Fire Hive for sure. So you probably already know. It ran for 4 seasons and is now available to view on Netflix. He's also the writer and co-creator of the comic books She Could Fly and Everything for Burger Books and Dark Horse, writer of The Mask, also for Dark Horse, and the writer of the new Doctor Doom series for Marvel Comics.
Damn. Yes.
Hi, Chris.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Did you reboot The Mask Dark again?
I did. Yeah, I read the... Do you guys remember the original comic book?
I learned all the mask mythology recently because I watched the movie for the first time and was like, let's think about how this happened and also... just people adapting dark comics before comic book movies were like the thing that they are now.
Yeah.
You know? It's so good.
Yes, the original comic book, very disturbing. I got it when I was in, I don't know, probably like right before middle school because the movie had come out and I convinced my mom to buy it at the store and she didn't open it. And when I did, on a road trip to St. Louis, it was profoundly disturbing.
The mask is so disturbing.
It's so disturbing, and then the comic is really disturbing.
Is more disturbing.
I've the movie's disturbing for different reasons, but the comic book is very violent. And
I couldn't
very
get
disturbing.
Through it because it's so dark and it's like pretty punishing.
Oh, really?
In the comic, the mask kind of just makes him a sociopath.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so it's just like every other like 80s.
Yeah, but that's also why it's so funny to think about all the like revisions at studios it went through to get to like, and then he does a dance.
Right. Yeah, where it's like, and then he's funny and sweet.
And it takes place in like a Miami that's kind of in the 50s, but also the swing revival was happening. Just a lot of stuff was happening. At
yeah,
that time.
It's really strange.
It's not a good vibe to exist in. Chris, just to put it mildly, The Parts You Lose, we were lucky enough to be able to see, that's coming out on October 4th in theaters and on VOD.
Yes.
Tell us, so this is one of the winteriest movies I've ever seen.
It was a very wintry movie to shoot.
You shot it in Winnipeg?
Yeah, we shot it in Winnipeg, which is a city that has kind of a weird reputation in Canada.
Really?
What's this reputation?
It's the murder capital of Canada.
Really? Oh.
The murder capital.
I didn't know that Canada even would have a murder capital.
I wonder how it stacks
I know.
Up against
statistically,
our
they would, but this is it.
One person a year gets murdered.
It's like, imagine. I think it's actually extraordinarily low compared to most places in the United States, but it's really looked down upon by a lot of Canadians. I would tell people who I knew from Canada that I was going to Winnipeg and they would be like, really? And they had never been.
Really?
A lot of Canadians have never been to Winnipeg.
But they're just snotty about it?
I think so, because I went and I actually kind of loved it.
Which province is it in?
Manitoba.
Okay, so it's like it's like the sticks compared.
Yeah, it's in the prairies.
Yeah.
I guess I was going to say, I guess murder means that it didn't happen as an accident. But I was like, is there some environmental feature? Yeah. Do people always drown in the same lake or something?
It was interesting because Winnipeg, so it looks it's set in North Dakota. And it looks extremely North Dakotan. But I was also wondering about the experience. So this is a thriller. And but it's a thriller, but it's like also mostly like kind of an emotional thriller.
Yeah. It's like a little chamber piece.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The actor who plays Wesley is a British actor named Danny Murphy. One of the really interesting things watching his performance was he has this like ability, the way that he like portrays this kind of interiority is so, so striking. And then the way that it's shot is like the whole thing is definitely feels like it's from his perspective, which is, it can be kind of like, it's very striking to see how his perception of what's going on because he can't hear is so different from everything else that's going on. And that's really gripping. But I was also curious about the process of shooting a dark film in the winter and like how that was for you.
It was miserable for me. Yeah. I have to say it was my first feature to direct. And I got a call from the producers who produced Halt and Catch Fire.
Yeah.
And they said, do you want to do a movie? And I went over to their office and read the script. And then I said, so will we go prep in like over Thanksgiving or something? Because it was around September. And they said, we leave in 10 days.
Oh my God.
And I was like, oh. And Elizabeth and I had just had our second kid. And I had told her because Halt had just finished. And I was like, oh, it'll be fine. Like, I'm going to be home and it'll be great. And then I was like, hey, I'm going to go to Canada for 4 months. And not even like Canada, like dark, scary, sad Canada for 4 months. So it was a tough conversation.
And it's also this kid has to go through quite a lot. He's bullied at school. His home life's kind of tough. And then he ends up forming a close relationship with a fugitive. I, as a parent watching it, I was like, this is really intense. Like, it reminded me when my son was 3, I turned on the news and it was like an anchor who was just like, tonight, a 3-year-old boy. And I like turned it off and then I cried for 3 days and I was like, ooh, I don't even know.
What happened? You were just like, 3-year-old boy, done.
I know what happened to that boy.
Yeah.
Did you go full Apocalypse Now in the tundra?
No, I started with... I mean, like, it was very cold.
I'll read some books.
Yeah, yeah, I was like, I'll bring some stuff.
I brought some books to keep warm.
I brought a Nutribullet, and then by the end, I had a hurricane.
A child with a Nutribullet.
I had a hurricane lantern in my apartment that light and put a wool blanket around myself and just stare at. It was dark. Wow. Elizabeth came up right at the end because it was getting pretty.
It's too much.
Pretty hairy.
Like, yeah. You're like, what do we do? Oh, we just stare at the Nutribullet every night.
Yeah, we just stare at the Nutribullet.
Yeah, I always wonder, like, when I hear about people who, like, either for shows or for films, who just have to, like, go in bed somewhere. Usually it's, like, Vancouver or whatever.
Right.
But even then, it's like, you're effectively living in a place that is not your home for, like, a pretty long time, but not quite in a way where you're like, I'm moving there. I live there now. But, like, you do have to, like, inhabit or, like, take on the psychology of whatever place that you're living in.
Winnipeg is really strange in that way because it is totally stuck in, like, 1978. Mm-hmm. It hasn't changed. I think it looks exactly like it did in 1978 with a few new places because it just seems too cold too often to build new stuff.
Right. Yeah.
So they just leave it and they're like, this is it. This is what we built. Let's
and that
live
made
in it.
For really great landscapes in the movie.
Yeah. I mean, you go outside in Manitoba and like the farmland is crazy. And like we didn't film in this barn, but there was one barn where we went to the family that owned the farm. And we were like, this barn is really cool. What's the history of this barn? And they said, well, I think it's over 100 years old. And we said, well, how long has the farm been in your family? And they said, well, our grandparents started this farm. And we said, oh, so they built the barn. And they said, no, it was here when they got here.
What?
Yeah, the barn was just there. And they kind of like retrofitted it in 1919.
Had you ever spent that long in anywhere that cold?
No. It was crazy, yeah.
Because so I was going to say, yeah. Texas and California,
yeah,
make you a soft.
It's true. It's they hard. Thin your blood.
It's hard to go in that direction. It's easy.
Yeah, it was really intense. I showed up with a jacket that I thought would be fine, and then by the end, I had the full coveralls, like the oil derrick coveralls.
Did you get like Carhartt?
Yeah, no, I got Canada Goose.
Yeah.
And then the full Canada Goose jacket that's so heavy that my shoulders would be sore by the end
of
the day.
I'll have a cute jacket. And then you're like, I will wrap a pelt around my body.
Yeah, liquid I had the moon boots. Yeah, it was intense.
Well, speaking of real estate of mysterious provenance, we hear that you live in a haunted house, possibly, allegedly.
Yes. Out. So
you allegedly live there.
Okay. Well, there's a couple of things. So we moved out to Claremont, California, which is a college town about 50 miles from LA, towards the mountains.
Also very 1978 out
yes.
there.
Yes.
Very. But then you go in the village and it's like 1900.
Yeah.
It's like very East Coast 1900. But we live in one of the first developments that they shut down the orange groves and they said, okay, we're just going to turn these into, you know, residential areas. Yeah. And we live in one of the first of those. And it's a normal house. It's not anything crazy. But it was built in 1961, which is later than some of the houses we lived in LA. But it has a very strange electrical system where the certain light bulbs will go on and off at random times. And the weirdest thing, I've never personally had like any kind of experience, like supernatural experience at all. I'm very fascinated by them and countless people I've met have had them. But the other day I was taking a nap because I'm in between jobs and I was laying down
by myself.
You don't
have to justify your nap or pro nap.
I was taking a nap. I'm very ashamed of naps. I don't know why.
Yeah. Naps are weird. I don't like naps.
Yeah, if I get up and I've woken up from a nap and Elizabeth isn't home yet, I will rush and make it look like I haven't taken a nap in
the
bed.
You destroy the evidence of a nap. You have to.
Yeah, but, I put the throw pillows back and I'm like, hey, I've just been working.
You can go too deep is the problem.
Can, yeah.
Which is maybe where this is going.
And I think, I think I'm too addicted to naps. But anyway, so I was laying down, but I wasn't asleep yet. And sometimes Elizabeth will come in like when I'm kind of in the middle of sleep and like she'll wake me up, but she'll always start by putting her hand on my shoulder if I'm turned away from her. And it'll kind of slide down and that'll wake me up. And that's how it's been for like years. And I felt that to the point where it was so real where I turned around and said, hey, and she wasn't there. And I actually heard the fabric move on my body.
Whoa.
And it felt like there was a hand on my shoulder and it slid down my shoulder toward my chest, just like Elizabeth does. And I heard it, and I turned around and said, hey, and there was no one there.
And then the light bulb started blinking on and off.
Yeah. And then it happened again, like, 45 minutes later.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I was laying there, and I was not really able to sleep. And then I felt it again and turned around, and I heard it. I heard the fabric move, and I didn't move for a second because I was like, is that the same thing? And then I felt it move down, and then I turned around, and then there was nobody there.
Whoa. Well, and so the second time, like, you were kind of half up from the nap the first time, but yeah, you were, like, fully awake.
I was awake the first time, too. I hadn't fallen asleep yet. And then I was like, oh, she came in without me paying. I was like, you know, off of Never Never Land, and she walked in, and I...
Do you have any pets?
I do. I have a dog.
Do they have large hands?
No. The dog with the beat, like the really graceful, beautiful female hand on my corgi Pomeranian. No. Yeah.
Oh, that would only be a Borzoi.
Well, I mean, Poltergeist has taught me that all cool married couples have poltergeists.
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, like, it would be cool to have one. I think Elizabeth wants one more than there might actually be one. We lived in a house in Echo Park. But it was the last place we lived in before we moved to Claremont. And it was a 100-something-year-old house. And I put a garden in, and I dug up a horse hitch, like the old horse hitch, how people would get up the hill on Aaron Street in Glendale before cars. And then we researched it, and the head of Pathé Films, which would rent all the cameras out to the silent film people like Max Sennett, lived in our house with his wife, who was the lead actress in the first narrative film, Squaw Man, the D.W. Griffith film.
Whoa.
And her name is Princess Red Wing. And so just that alone was freaky.
So that was the house you would have more expected to be haunted.
Yeah. I mean, our son, when he was a baby, would like sit and laugh at nothing that he was looking at in the corner of
his
room.
Maybe he saw that Nutribullet.
Yeah. It was the Nutribullet.
The hypnotic Nutribullet.
I love Nutribullets so much. I feel like I've talked about them on this show many times.
Well, how do you feel about the ninja?
I really don't like the name. It looks too aggro to me. The Nutribullet is like you don't expect much from the Nutribullet when you look at it, and then you realize it solves every single problem you've ever had in your kitchen. The ninja looks like, oh, you want a Vitamix, but it's too expensive, but you want to overcompensate by making it look like really aggro, then that's what the
ninja
looks
like. Isn't that
the
case, though, with almost every alternative to the Vitamix, is that you want a Vitamix, but it's too expensive?
I'll tell you what I do. I go to Hugo's Azteca on York. Really great juice. Very cheap. Everybody.
I heard the juice boom is over, guys. I'm just letting you know that was a headline today. It was like, the juice is over.
I think maybe all the like things people spend with their extra money might be going out of fashion soon.
Potentially. I have to say I'm in the market for a new blender. So if
Nutribullet
is the best one.
It's really good. Maybe we should pitch that they should sponsor Nightcall.
Nutribullet should sponsor Nightcall because we've said the name of their product like 600 times.
Nutribullet.
We need to have some commission here.
I bought one with my own money for our last writer's room because I needed to have one.
That was nice of you.
Yes. Yes, it was very magnetic. It was for me.
Yeah, okay.
Because you needed the juice.
I wanted the juice. Yeah, I would make a smoothie. Yeah. For lunch. The ninja was very problematic. And that's actually what I brought to Canada, not the Nutribullet, because I needed it. So I brought a ninja.
That's where the ninjas are portable.
Yeah, and it's really tough.
You're staring at it, like sizing it up as how it is inferior to the Nutribullet.
And I think I tried to use it. I tried to use it when I was back home, right after I got back from Canada. And I was kind of in a weird place. And I don't even know if Elizabeth knows this, but I tried to blend something in the ninja, and it like the dryer stuff got stuck in the top, and I couldn't like shake it loose to get it down into the blades.
Oh no.
And I got so angry that I took the ninja into the garage and I destroyed it.
Really?
Yeah, oh, no. I'm just remembering that I literally physically destroyed
like
the ninja.
With a hammer or with your hand?
Yeah, like I think I threw it down by the cord so it had the leverage.
Did this just come back to
you? Yeah, like I was just like I was like, what happened to my ninja? And I was like, oh, I destroyed it in the garage. Like,
wait, that's
violently.
Really weird because the reason I don't have a blender is because like 2.5 months ago I was getting the blender and my kids were being super annoying and I was like on a stool and I got the base of the blender, and then the top part of the blender fell and like hit me on the head cracked on my head and then fell to the ground. It was plastic, but it shattered. And I was like, I don't know if I need another blender after this. But then, of course, you're like, I need a smoothie.
Yeah.
You want a smoothie.
I'm only human.
Less cleanup in the Nutribullet.
You know, the Nutribullet, you blend in the cup.
Yeah, and then you drink it.
I don't like carrying that cup around necessarily. I like to be able to choose.
You can get a smaller one with a handle.
But is it cute?
I drink a smoothie out of it every single morning.
Will you bring it so I can see the cup? Because
it's disgusting at this point. Like, it's so messed up.
I believed a rumor that our friend Alex Papademos threw a computer across the room once after we all found out we were losing our jobs. And then I asked him about it, and he was like, no, I just kind of closed it.
Oh, that makes me so sad. I believed that rumor as well.
I want to destroy machines all the time. So that sounds so satisfying.
It was, but it's also kind of sad because then it's gone and you realize you spent the money on it.
And I used to have a big problem with it.
If it's
when it's like shards of stuff, when you have the kids, you feel like a real doof. Oh, God.
But I want to hit a TV with a baseball bat in an 80s music video.
Real bad.
Well, what would be the equivalent now?
I was just in Florida and I just kept being like, what if I just threw my phone into the ocean?
Oh,
I
fantasize about that constantly.
That'd be incredible. Yeah. Or you just shatter a phone. I mean,
I'm always like, no, I can't. Like, I don't wish that on the ocean, you know?
Right, yeah, that would be bad. Although it's so far gone at this point that it's like, what's another
iPhone? What's one more phone? While we have you, Chris, we have a night call that we wanted to hear your input on.
Yeah, we need you to weigh in on this one.
This night call comes from Zach. Hi, Night Call. After Cokie Roberts' death earlier this week, I read that her father, Hale Boggs, vanished when the plane carrying him disappeared over Alaska in 1972. It was never found. He was House Majority Leader at the time and seems to have doubted the standard narrative of events surrounding the Kennedy assassination. Seems fishy to me. I was blown away that I hadn't heard of this until now. I'm wondering if you've heard of this conspiracy theory and if there are any other under-the-radar American political conspiracies you've been following recently.
Epstein theories.
Which
1.0.
ones are under the radar?
This is the one. That's what we were saying. There is no under the radar conspiracies anymore. They are all.
Yeah, they're just out in the open.
Yeah. Out in the open.
We did this. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that is fascinating.
I did not know that story. So the guy was the House Majority or Minority?
House Majority. This says House Majority Leader.
So this is the equivalent of Nancy Pelosi just disappearing in a plane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of people, it turns out, get disappeared on planes and boats. It seems.
I heard that Kevin O'Leary's wife or ex-wife, did you hear about this?
Kevin O'Leary's wife just killed somebody with a boat.
Two people.
That was an accident.
It was a boat on boat. She was at night.
She was steering a boat.
And
she
it had
didn't
no
know
lights?
How to sail a boat.
It didn't have any lights on it.
Killed two people and then they got real Chappaquiddicky about it.
Oh, yeah.
They were like, the narrative, who can say who was driving?
Mm. Oh, God.
Well, he disappeared in 1972, so quite a while after the actual...
Yeah, but, so I don't know that it was then, but...
But it was before. It would be before the investigation into the... what was it called? The 1976 Committee on the Presidential Conspiracy that reinvestigated the Warren Report.
This is why we're so glad that we have you on the podcast.
Yeah,
this.
Chris, can you explain your credentials to be...
So I'm from Dallas. I've been to the School Book Depository Museum multiple times.
I feel like this is your Manson murders.
I think it is. wrote a screenplay with my partner, Chris Rogers, who I created Halt with. That was our first script on the blacklist about it. And we researched all of the different kind of conspiracy theories that were out there. And we tried to assemble what would be a plausible conspiracy witnessed on the ground from the point of view of a Dallas patrol officer in those first 48 hours.
Aliens.
It was aliens. But there are things like, do you guys know about Badge Man?
No, I don't know really anything
about
the JFK conspiracies.
Man. I don't know about Badge Man.
Okay, so the only photos taken from the other side of the motorcade, if you zoom it, so from the middle part of the grassy knoll, looking towards Zapruder. Mm-hmm. So Zapruder's in the photo. But the resolution is very low because it's black and white film. Some people claim that if you continue to look further into that photo where the fence is, the fence line behind the grassy knoll where people say they heard shots, you can make the outline of someone firing a rifle who looks like they're wearing a Dallas police officer's uniform. And there's a reflection in the photo that looks like a badge, hence the name Badge Man.
Would... But it's not the theory is not that it's an actual police officer.
Or it is.
No, the theories are that it's one of two people, that it's an assassin from Corsica or another French Algerian assassin who was documented to be in the North Texas area between November 20th, 19th through November 24th when he was arrested and then immediately deported back to wherever he was coming from.
Guys, whoa. I'm trying to search JFK badge man right now and the internet is failing. I think that somebody doesn't want us to know.
What? Badge man? Oh, there should be a Wikipedia entry on badge man.
Well, it's not. It's just like the internet.
The internet went out because the poltergeist heard we were talking about JFK.
What do you feel on your shoulder right now?
Oh, so the poltergeist is the badge man trying to find Chris from finding out too much. Yeah, obviously. Once you start to go down the hole, too, it's like you just can't ever get out once you start asking questions.
No, it's impossible. I mean, I've read books, you know, there's the Bugliosi book about how it was just Oswald, and it's very compelling and very convincing. There's also Case Closed by Gerald Posner, very convincing.
There's also this new book that's all about how Bugliosi is a con man.
Right.
That I was fighting with my boyfriend about because he was like, it's a theory about the Manson murders being staged by the CIA. And I was like, no, that's too crazy. And he was like, why is that the thing?
Why is that the line.
The bridge too far. Right.
Elizabeth used to work for the CIA.
What?
And really?
Last
Are
night,
you allowed to say that?
Yes. Last night she tried to tell me, and I thought this was very strange.
Is she the whistleblower? Please.
That would be incredible. We were going to dinner, and she said, I totally believe that the whistleblower was a CIA person because as far as I'm concerned, CIA operatives and agents are the most apolitical and neutral and morally upright people I know in the government. And I was like, are you serious? Like, that precedent for that is completely contradictory to what you just said.
Yeah, I mean...
And she was like, but they hated George W. Bush. They didn't want to go to Iraq. And I was like, that's one.
Right.
But then they also overthrew several governments across the world.
Yeah, I think once you also start reading about all that stuff, it just sort of starts to undermine everything you feel you know to be true
but
about
weirdly,
anything.
I do believe that like CIA operatives are pretty like neutral. It's just that they're like willing to just do whatever they're asked to do. Like that that seems plausible.
Put
to
on
me.
This Dallas policeman's uniform and shoot the president.
Why did they want to kill the president?
Well, there's different theories about this. There's the Union theory. There's the Jimmy Hoffa theory, mm-hmm. which I believe will be explored in the film The Irishman.
Wait, that's what The Irishman is about?
Yeah, it's about a guy who claims to have inside knowledge, which a real man has inside knowledge of the Kennedy assassination.
Wait, you're telling me that we accidentally became timely? We found it.
We always do.
I thought it was about
find
an
our
Irish
way back.
Man.
Yeah, me Netflix. Too. I thought it was about like
November 1st.
I don't know what I thought it was about.
There's also the most plausible thing that Chris and I came across were a conspiracy was that it was a rogue group or sect of CIA operatives who were pissed off about the Bay of Pigs and their friends dying there and that they were doing it as a small isolated contained cell without the CIA's knowledge and killed the president. And if you were to go one step further, that the CIA became aware of this operation and tacitly and didn't do anything. Just let it
because
happen.
Of loyalty?
No, just didn't let it. They didn't. They were like, that's fine because their agenda did not line up with Kennedy in terms of what their agenda was for intelligence.
But then were they just doing it like for revenge after the Bay of, were they just, they were angry and they were just.
Yeah, like, they wanted to change the policy towards active communist aggression. So like aggression towards communism that they were like, we need to actually go after these people as opposed to just sit back.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I buy that, right?
I mean, yeah. And then you read the stuff about Lee Harvey Oswald and you're like, okay. But there are two things that stick out to me that Chris and I were never able to shake despite us believing that it was one guy. Okay. So there was a Dallas patrolman, not Badger Man, a real guy who went up to the sixth floor when they found the weapon in the immediate aftermath of the crime scene. And the chief of police holds up the gun, and this guy, who's a hunter, said, oh, it's a Mauser. It was not a Mauser. It was a Mannlicher Carcano Italian rifle, bolt-action rifle.
From Corsica?
Yeah. And they came out with the official report and said it was this type of gun, and this officer said, no, it was a Mauser. Like, remember we were there, we saw it was a Mauser. That was his, he never changed his opinion. He just said, it was a Mauser. I saw it. Three separate instances. A couple years later, he's driving down the freeway, not on patrol, I think. And someone takes a wild shot at him on a Dallas street and hits his car. A couple years later, there's a knock at his door and he answers the door of his house and someone shoots him point blank with a shotgun in the chest. He lives.
What?
Mm-hmm.
A couple years later, he's coming home from work. His dad is out front mowing his lawn. And he's like, hey, Dad. And his dad's like, hey, what's up? And he's like, oh, I'm just going to go inside and change. Something like less than 30 seconds later, the dad hears a gunshot in the house and he comes in and his son has apparently committed suicide.
That is super fishy and crazy.
I know. That's the that's one that scares me.
And then you get the Zodiac brain too, where you're just or it's all random. Yeah.
There's no connection whatsoever. I just desire patterns.
Yeah. Yeah. And which is funny too, especially when you're looking into like the CIA and stuff. It's like you got dosed.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just there.
We're dosing ourselves. The
House Select. I'm just coming here. I'm like, my movie comes out October 4th. The House Select Committee on Assassinations in 1976.
No, do you see we're all like glowing?
Elizabeth will be like, Christ, you went into the Kennedy stuff.
That's what we want. Awesome. We can't wait.
So there's this guy named George de Morenschild. If you guys are going to watch JFK soon, he's a character in the film. Mm-hmm. He befriended wealthy German dude, I think German, spoke Russian, mm-hmm. befriends the Oswalds when they return from Russia and they settle in Texas. They're very poor. He's kind of this aristocrat guy in Dallas, kind of takes Lee under his wing. This is all true. Lee apparently takes the photo of himself with the rifle and the newspaper to give to George, and there's a copy in George's house. Mm-hmm. That the Warren Commission finds later. He hands it over. It says like something, something like off fighting fascists, Lee. Signed Lee.
Sincerely.
LHO. George is brought up before the Warren Commission. They ask him if he has any ties to the CIA. He says no. He does have ties to the CIA. They realize this later. He had business ties to the CIA because he did a lot of business overseas. So he gets a summons to testify before the House Select Committee on Assassinations. The day he gets that summons, he blows himself away with a shotgun.
Yeah.
Which is very strange.
What does it mean?
I know.
What does it mean?
It's very strange.
What made you initially so fascinated? Like, why is this you're under the Silver Lake? Is it just like from being,
the local mystery? It's gotta be Dallas, yeah.
Dallas is very strange in that way.
Dallas is a weird place in general.
Yeah.
I've never been to Dallas.
It has this weird kind of scar on it where it's a cool place and then also kind of a not cool place. And then it has this weird place in world history.
Yeah.
And I think it all stems from my dad took me to see JFK when I was 8.
Oh boy.
That was bad. He was like, let's go see this movie. And we walked in and he was like, now before we watch this movie, like, just know they proved it was one guy. This is a movie. It's just a story. And then I sat through 3.5 hours of like men painted gold, like beating each other with chains and doing AML. And we walked out of the theater and I remember driving home and he was sitting next to my mom in the car and I was in the back seat and he was like, they did it. They fucking killed him. They fucking killed him.
That is amazing.
CIA guy killed him. And so I think that just stuck with me forever.
That's incredible.
Yeah. It's also, you just can't ever go to the bottom of it, right?
Yeah.
It's one of those things where you just can, it's like Zodiac. You just continue to dig and dig and dig.
And the farther you get from it, the more impossible it becomes.
And like, the more things you start to rope in from like farther away.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
This is connected too. But then again, not to bring it back to Epstein.
But Easy Rider is in Raging Bull.
In the movie Easy Rider. Got a lot of stuff to say about that. I'm almost done. But yeah, I mean, once you do sort of accept like, oh, like sometimes people with a lot of money do super immoral and illegal things or a lot of power,
yeah,
and get away with it because it sounds so insane.
Yeah,
yeah.
Then you just feel gaslit forever.
Yeah,
and, yeah. Where you have no idea. And you hear it from like a credible source. Where it's not some, it's not like right. the guy handing out photos of the autopsy in front of the grassy knoll.
Yeah.
It's like you're going deep into the primary sources or like the head of a studio retires and before he dies, he's like, here's why the Manson girls actually killed those people.
Right.
And you're like, and he tells you that story and then you're like, whoa. And then to you, that's the story forever.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. And the guy who wrote the book that I was arguing with my boyfriend about, neither one of us have read the book. We good, read
great to argue oh, about that.
We read two, it was also like we get in these kinds of arguments on road trips or long drives. It's just for fun. Mm-hmm.
Debate team.
But yeah, it was totally... a lot of it is like, oh, this person wouldn't talk to me, therefore they must be hiding something.
Right.
You know, where people yeah. are like, or they don't want to rehash a murder from 50 years ago
yeah.
that they've thought about and been haunted by their whole life. But then he would be like, see clearly, like, because they don't want to talk to me, it means that they know something.
Right.
I think that's the big problem with the JFK assassination is because there was such expediency with the Warren Commission that they were ordered basically to like wrap this up as fast as possible. Mm-hmm. So they would interview witnesses and they'd be like, well, I also heard, and they'd be like, we don't care about that. Like, just keep yeah. telling us the thing right. about so right. that they could prove it was Oswald, which it yeah, probably right. was.
Well, it's like the Kavanaugh thing.
Yeah,
they too. Needed, it's yeah. just like, let's wrap this up as fast as possible when you're dealing with things that are like
and once you've
very yeah. layered.
Because yeah. they didn't want it to right. make it feel like a communist conspiracy or to like upset the world balance.
Like in right. making a murderer or in like the OJ, you know, stuff. Also, it's like sometimes also the cops fuck up.
Right.
And that's another layer of it is like mm-hmm. somebody did a crime and also the cops covered it up.
Right.
Too, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like these people were terrible and unreliable
yeah.
and they were involved in.
Right. Everyone who was supposed to do their job did the worst possible job
yeah, yeah.
and then you uncover it. But yeah. it does also feel like there's this thing now with like Alex Jones type stuff where it's like, then there's like the Sandy Hook conspiracy people where
right.
you're like,
oh, yeah.
no,
that's
this
another
is
level.
Blatantly yeah. false. And how do I live in a world where like I acknowledge that I believe in Kennedy conspiracies, but then some of the conspiracies I'm well, like, no, this is clearly
yeah, it's like some of them are socially acceptable.
But then yeah. people are like, once you start saying like, what if that's not true? I got in right. a, like a conversation with a flat earther guy on Hollywood Boulevard about it because yeah he was like mm-hmm. what about the moon landing, and I was like right. well like we took all the Nazi scientists to go to the moon, which is like isn't that more fucked up, man?
Right.
Like, yeah, actually you're right, but yeah
still was, didn't go
yeah
it still didn't go you, it didn't
took
work
a bunch yeah. of Nazi scientists to figure out how to shoot the moon on a soundstage.
I don't believe that Kubrick would have worked with all those Nazi scientists
yeah
on that
me
soundstage.
Neither
I don't want to believe
know.
It
Or maybe the Nazi scientists just whiffed and they were like, we got to do something.
Yeah.
Pull some, a rabbit out of a
well,
hat here.
Too, with
Hollywood.
The, with the space race where it's like everybody was lying about having the technology to go to the moon. So they all just got in an arms race to do
right.
it. Like things that did happen in history
yeah.
all seem really stupid sometimes yeah. as well.
That is
sometimes
true.
The real story on the record is plenty dumb.
Exactly.
yeah. Where you're like, is that it? Okay. That's the harder thing to grapple with where it's like, you're like, oh, this is a 26-year-old guy who is a loser, was like, oh, I'm going to go make a name for myself. Yeah. And it worked.
Yeah.
And everybody, like, that's the thing that, like, just makes people have a nervous breakdown.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And sometimes when it's, like, the thing that people are really apologizing for is just like, well, like, people can go get firearms is really what the fucked up conspiracy is here.
Yes.
Otherwise, we'd have a Winnipeg-like murder rate much more.
Winnipeg has now like entered our consciousness as something we will probably reference.
It's I
like,
want to go
you know,
there now.
It's kind of great. I feel like Winnipeg. You would really like it because it's like if David Lynch made a Canadian city. that's really what
that's
it's like.
That's a great advertisement
yeah.
for
that's
Winnipeg.
My impression of Canada.
You're you back. Have to have a hotel. If you want to have a bar outside the proper city limits, you have to have a hotel.
Oh.
So it has to be a hotel. So there are some bars that they're full bars, and then they have one room you can rent upstairs.
Oh, funny. That's super yeah. scary to me.
Yeah, and yeah, most of them are like hotels where you just don't want to stay.
Of course not.
Yeah.
Well, everyone, please go see The Parts You Lose. It's fantastic.
It's on VOD now.
It is yeah. going to be on VOD and in theaters on October 4th. I think I can say confidently it will be less disturbing than the Joker. And so you should make the right choice. We're up against the Joker, folks.
And 100% more Scoot McNairy.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Before you go, Dark we have Scoot. To say it was great to see Scoot McNairy back. Love He's Scoot. So amazing.
We had a lot of fun on that. We had more fun with each other, I think, than we did on Hulk because there was no pressure.
Yeah.
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 Well, always, yeah, and this is Dark Scoot in this.
It is very yeah, Dark
he,
Scoot.
He so. Ignored the kid. Like he came in and did yeah. the thing where he wouldn't talk to the kid.
Oh, he was method? Oh,
yeah, maybe he until like halfway through the shoot where he was like, I'm just being the asshole.
Oh, he couldn't do it.
So then he would come over and like hang out with the kid. But like by that point, we got most of the footage.
Maybe
so.
He can play the badge man.
Yes, yeah. Oh, he'd be so good in a movie like
that. I know,
that.
Yeah. Right?
He's from Dallas.
He's such a guy who could be in a photograph and you'd notice him 40 years later and 100%. You're like, it's that guy.
Yeah. There he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just gave you a great idea.
Yeah, yeah. If we found out Scoot yeah. was like an ageless demon traveling through time also on film, I'd believe it.
I will add this one thing that, so when I saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which I know you guys have talked about on here, they talk about how Rick Dalton is the heavy, right? Where he's the guy from the TV show who then goes into the movie just so he can get his ass kicked. Mm-hmm. Then who shows up in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood but the guy from my TV show
yep.
from and Scoot, who's an incredible actor, shows up for the one scene and yeah. just gets taken out.
And he's great.
Yeah. He's fucking awesome in it. I was like cheering in the theater. I was like, yeah, there he is.
He needs his own show.
He needs his own movies.
We agree. Oh,
right. He's been really busy Scoot. Though.
Yeah. He's always doing something.
He's always doing stuff. I keep running it. I ran into him for like a 6-month period at the grocery store, and I was like, "There's Scoot McNairy over at the deli." I think he's got kids too, right?
Yeah, he's got two kids.
He seemed like in the same headspace as me of like grocery shopping. We're all like, we're not with my kids right
just
now.
Just took my nap and yeah, time to get back.
Secret nap. Well, thank you so much for joining us,
yeah,
Chris.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, Elizabeth is next.
Yes, yeah. Have her on. She'd be great.
We would love to.
And you can buy Elizabeth's book at Skylight.
Yes. Yeah,
and Amazon. And
what's the name of the book?
It's called All the Emergency Type Structures.
Great.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Book.
By
yeah,
Elizabeth yeah. Cantwell. Yeah.
By Elizabeth Cantwell.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thanks so much, everybody, for listening to Night Call this week. You can follow us on Twitter at Night Call Pod, Instagram, Night Call Podcast, Facebook, Night Call Podcast. You can leave us a night call at 1-240-46-NIGHT. We haven't been getting that many calls.
No, we've gotten some. We're going to cover more of them next week. Okay. Some of them are a little bit long.
Okay. Don't be scared to call us on the phone. We have a cute message recording. It's very, like, fun. You can just call and listen to that and hang up.
Just call with your cutest JFK theories.
Yes. Only kawaii JFK theories. You can also email us at nightcallpodcast@gmail.com and support us on Patreon. We're at patreon.com/nightcall. And you can support us at a variety of letters. We've got a newsletter coming out soon,
and a mixtape.
And a mixtape. Actually, they'll be out by the time you hear this. Or no, wait. You'll hear this on Monday. So if you hear this on Monday, go subscribe now and you will get the October
late, right?
newsletter.
Wait, is Monday the 30th?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, great. Yeah, do it.
Yeah.
Do
it. You'll be on today. Board for October.
And then go order a Nutribullet.
Thanks to our friends at Nutribullet.
You can make a pumpkin spice juice.
No thanks to our friends at our enemies at Ninja. Right.
Unless they want to sponsor us, Ninja.
Oh, yes. Yeah, we love you. Bye.
Bye.
'Night Call' is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.